Welcome to another episode of the Pure Property Podcast, where we talk about all things property and property investment. So today we're going to give an insight and overview of the current market conditions that we are facing. Now we're going to be using data from the recent HomeTrack reports, both the house price index, which is to do with house prices, as it says in the title there, and we're also going to look at the quarterly market report as well, which came out at the end of the last quarter, because we want to give an insight into property prices, what's going on that side of the market when looking at property investing and the property market as a whole. And we also want to look at the rental market as well, because as investors, as landlords, that is a factor that we need to keep our eyes on, because that's also a vital part of the investment. So Matt, in general, how's things? You been okay?
Yeah, been good, thanks Toby. Been busy, haven't we, over the last couple of weeks. Yeah. We've had a couple of new launches, which has been really exciting for many of the investors, which has kept us really, really busy, but all good busy. What about yourself, Toby?
Yeah, same, as you know. We've been busy at the moment. So a lot of things going on. And yeah, to some people's disbelief, the property market is still going.
Yeah,
it's still
about,
busy.
Apparently.
Yeah. So on our side of things, it hasn't slowed us down, which is good from a commercial point of view. But yeah, it has been good. And before we go into looking at the market as a whole, as we record this today, this morning there was an announcement about the inflation rate in the UK. So we're now in July. So today is the 19th of July, 2023, and it has been announced today that inflation has dropped to, Matt, do you know the figure?
7.9%, is that correct? 7.9%,
which is positive news.
Positive.
So that has dropped down.
It's lower than what they expected it to be as well.
Yeah, so they were expecting it to drop down to
8.2%.
Yeah. So that's what a lot of analysts were looking at, and what it has, it's dropped down from 8.9%.
Yeah, around that figure.
Yes, 8.9% is what we've seen at before. It's now dropped to 7.9%, which is very, very good news.
So positive. Sure.
We're definitely happy to see that. That's a good indication. Now, look, it has been tough out there. The Bank of England increasing interest rates at the moment. Sorry, the base rate at the moment, it sits at 5%. So yeah, that has been difficult on people, not only in the property market, but just in general. It's obviously with the cost of living crisis, everything going on, that's been an extra squeeze. So there's been a lot going on, and unfortunately this stuff is needed, because that's what it's being done for. It's to get inflation under control. Now, today's announcement of it being at 7.9%, so a reduction, is positive news. So it seems the steps that the Bank of England have been taken, i.e. rising the base rate, is taking effect. So we hope that may continue. Now, I don't think we're out of it. It doesn't mean that the Bank of England is suddenly going to start dropping rates again or everything's going to be back to normal. I do think we've got a bit of a tough road ahead. Yeah, still.
It'll still be some time, right?
Exactly that. But what it does mean is that it is it's heading in the right direction. So that's good.
It's initially a positive, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly that. It's a positive. Just to correct, I've just double checked, it's down from 8.7%.
Okay.
The previous month. So inflation at the previous month was 8.7%. It's now down to 7.9%. So nearly a whole percentage down, which is great. The current 5-year averaged fixed looking here is sitting at 6.33% for a mortgage rate. So yeah. Again, not the end of the world. It's higher than people may have hoped, but that's a factor that we'll look into in terms of the mortgage market when looking at the property market as a whole. So, anything else you want to add on the base on the inflation rate side of things?
No, as I said, Toby, I think it's a massive positive and a step in the right direction. As you said, I think we're nowhere near where it probably will lead to be going, because obviously everyone wants to see it going further and further down, but I think it's initially a big step in regards to going in that direction, which hopefully we will see over the coming next few months, that drop even more so, which would hopefully play into effect with the property market and maybe make it a little bit easier for investors to maybe look at options and not be as scared with some of the rates which initially are out there at the moment.
Look, I think the whole media scenario of scaremongering and that side of things, I don't like it. I don't agree with it. I'd actually say it might have actually played into the hands of the economy in this occasion because it's has put a bit of fear into people. It's all that's being talked about. So people are then actually tightening their belts, restricting what they're spending, which is all part of what's pushing inflation up. So we'll see. But yeah, you're right. We've got some long road ahead to see, which will be sort of tough. But it is going in the right direction. And that's the main thing. Hopefully this will continue. What this does mean as well, potentially, the Bank of England won't look at raising the base rate again. So hopefully they'll just keep an eye on it and say, well, look, inflation's coming down, has dropped more than expected. Maybe we'll hold off jumping the gun and doing any more base rate increases and see how this works. Maybe if we see another drop, they might say, okay, yep, we're fine. Let's keep holding it at this as long as it continues to come down. Because I do think if we didn't have that drop that we have seen today, I do think they would be very imminently putting the rate up regardless of anything else, so the base rate. So let's see how that plays out. But yeah, a lot of moving parts, a lot of factors to play in, but overall it is positive.
Agreed.
So moving on to the property market as a whole. So like I mentioned, we're going to use the latest Home Track report and we're going to take some of the headline figures, headline data to look at and discuss and analyze just to get a feel of what the market is saying, what the data is saying. And then obviously at the end, we can have our input and we can discuss along the way. So I think the first headline figure to start with is the UK annual inflation. So what the average UK inflation is year on year. So this compares June's figures to last year. So this report is from June, of course. So do bear that in mind. It's from the end of June. So this is released for, I think, the last few days of June. So we're going to look at the year on year figures. So the year on year average inflation, that's house price increase, is currently at 1.2%. So, yes, that is a positive. So we have seen positive year on year growth, which is good. However, what I would say is that is actually showing a slowdown. So growth is slowing down. You have to remember we were at a higher figure last year. So we are seeing signs of the market slowing down. Now, is that such a bad thing? What would you say?
I was going to say, Toby, I think it's a massive positive, especially with the conditions, as we just spoke about before, with inflation, all of these factors playing a massive part in how not only obviously the economy's dealing with it, but also the property side of things. And I think as a whole, it's actually quite a positive outlook on it. Even if it's a small increase, it's still better than it was last year by even a percentage or two. So I think with the actual market conditions and what's actually happened over the past 6 to 8 months, I think this is a massive, I think personally, positive to take out of the situation. I think it's been very scary, as you said, doom and gloom. We've seen a lot of the headlines and the media and people saying obviously the crash is coming and all of this kind of scarcity in the market. And I genuinely do believe that with obviously the inflation figures happening and this kind of, I mean, it's an average across the UK. So we do know some areas will be performing at a higher level, still producing much higher figures than last year. And some will obviously be slightly, some probably in a negative as well. So it definitely, I think, when you're looking at investing anyway, I think it's strategic to where you're looking to. So that's why I think it's good to do your research in terms of the locations, which I believe we will come under shortly in this.
Yeah. We'll come on to sort of some of the locations that are performing well. Now, I think a positive to take as well is that we have seen a quarterly uplift. So we've seen a couple of months where it's actually been a negative and a quarter where we saw a negative drop as well. But this quarter saw it actually being up in terms of growth from the previous quarter, which is positive. However, that is taken into consideration on the first quarter of the year. Sort of early on, we did have rates for the mortgages coming down to more favorable sort of like 4% level, which had a bit more confidence in. So again, we'll see how that plays out, but I don't think we're going to see that continue. I do think with how the sort of the base rate has been increased since then, and mortgage rates have as well, we will probably see it slow down further. But like you said, I personally don't think that's a bad thing. It's creating a better market in general in terms of prices being more reasonable for a lot of people looking to enter, get on the ladder. They've got a bit more room for negotiation. Now coming on to that, actually, one of the other headline figures is that 42% of sellers are accepting discounts more than 5% off the asking price. So we're seeing the discounts coming into play. Now, again, that headline figure, you might think, oh, people are having to discount their prices, prices are tumbling, etc., etc. However, what that indicates to me is that vendors, and I've been banging on about this how many times?
For sure.
For a long time. Vendors are having to become more realistic with their pricing.
Yeah.
So they can't put it on for too much money.
Even if the estate agent's saying to put it on for a higher price, right?
Even if the estate agent's trying to win the business by telling them a higher price, they are having to accept the fact that they need to be realistic in their pricing and price to what the market's willing to pay. Now, I don't think that means prices are falling off a cliff. As I said, I just think that means vendors are having to come to terms with they can't go on for a higher price than they anticipated. The market price is the market price. That's what they have to put in for. There might be some locations where, yes, affordability is being stretched. So you'll see sort of prices dip there. But the locations that we're looking at in terms of property investment, we don't really see that because the demand's still high. The affordability levels are still there. So quite an interesting headline figure in the sense of it looks worse than in realistic terms actually is.
Yeah, once again, I think when we talk about a lot of these figures, I think especially when you first of all read an initial figure, it can sometimes be scary, as we've seen with the media and the news. It can sometimes be initially quite a surprising figure, but a lot of the time I don't think we kind of take into kind of consideration all the different aspects that might play a massive factor in that percentage or in that kind of point, like it's raised there. As you said, a number of things, estate agents put it up, vendors on their own trying to get as much as they possibly can rather than getting maybe the market value. So I absolutely agree, Toby. I think in terms of what you mentioned there is absolutely right. And once again, as always, it's good to kind of look at things from, I guess, all different angles.
Yeah. And back on the topic of mortgage rates. So one of the other bits of data that they've picked up on is there's been a reduction by 11% in buying power from seeing for purchases from seeing the mortgage rate rise from mortgage rates rising from 4% to 5%. So that is obviously going to indicate the demand potentially will be hit. So again, yes, I think that is going to be the case. So when buying power is hit, of course demand is going to be hit. However, the optimist in me, and being a bit realistic, is I don't think that's going to be as bad as everyone thinks, because all that will happen is some people will adjust their buying plans, and maybe they were aiming to get a 3-bed, but they can probably do with a 2-bed, and they'll just reduce what they're looking at and go for the cheaper option. They'll look at cheaper options. Maybe they'll look further afield. As we know, remote working now means you can move around. So a lot of people have that flexibility. Bank of Mum and Dad is still there. And I think there's still a lot of funds in that scenario, which people can tap into. Mm-hmm. A lot of people would have had savings set aside, which they were going to look to sort of keep hold of or maybe use on other stuff, which they'll then have to tap into. And also just their buying power in the sense of what they could afford before on monthly payments is obviously going to go up. But a lot of people probably would have had a buffer there anyway. And again, it just means if they really want the house they want, they'll probably have to stretch. So yes, some people will probably be edged out of the market or pushed down the market in terms of what they can afford and price they can afford to pay. But I don't think it's going to be as bad as they are maybe making out with that headline figure. I think when you read into it, it should be more subtle than we anticipate.
For sure. No, I fully agree on that, Toby.
Yeah. And I think looking at the affordability factor, we will keep an eye on that. But also, like we said, this is where it comes down to location, because there are locations where people aren't as stretched on the affordability factor wise. So that is why that's something we're very hot on, is looking at the right locations where people aren't necessarily going to be affected by that hit to buy and power, because affordability wasn't too stretched anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They are noting that, and we'll come on to sort of our overall ideas at the end, but one of the points in the sort of the headline parts of the report is they're still anticipating that all of everything's going on the market. And of course, this is before they saw inflation drop. But yeah, with all that was going on in the market, and is, they're anticipating that by the end of 2023, they believe that house prices on the UK average will only come down by 5%. Now, you might look at that and go, wow, prices going down, that's not good.
Market's crashing.
Yeah, yeah, we hear that a lot. But that's actually not bad. If you think of everything that the markets had thrown at it, the economy's had thrown at it, that's not that bad. And that's the average. So what that says to me is when we're looking at certain locations, which we'll come on to in terms of what they're looking at growth-wise at the moment, year on year, there'll be places that actually probably won't dip. And they'll maybe still do a slight increase. I personally think we'll just have a bit of a more of a stagnated market. And some, on average, prices just won't grow, or there'll be a slight decline as an average. But yeah, I do believe that there's going to be locations which will still be okay. They'll either stay the same or they might see a slight increase.
And I agree. I think in terms of with that, Toby, I think you mention it quite a lot to myself as well. And when we speak with investors, it's the exact same case in terms of if you are looking to still invest and potentially look at property options, it's being able to shift with the market, being able to look at locations and know where's a good time to enter. Look, no one's perfect. No one's going to know exactly when everything is an exact time to enter a certain part of the market. But it's being able to understand, maybe as you said, the areas that are more affordable, or they've got options where maybe there's so much going on in that area, it's very unlikely that prices would drop because of the demand and the, everything that's going on there. So I think in terms of from an investment point of view, it's just, I guess, shifting.
Yeah.
Which a lot of investors don't do they? They get quite caught up in the same area. It's worked for them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So they go over and over again until the point where sometimes there is no growth, or it becomes a little bit more stale. Whereas sometimes, I think, to be honest, a lot of London sometimes investors, isn't it? Down in South,
yeah.
They get very caught up in wanting it nearby, whereas sometimes they've missed out on an opportunity in the North that's could have made them an absolute fortune and made double the money they've made in this London one. So I think it's something that you always mention is just obviously shifting your focus and know when to change sometimes rather than get caught up in your own.
Yeah, it's definitely about being agile. Look, I always say in any market, you can always invest and you can always do well. It's just about adapting your strategy to do so. So don't just focus on doing the same old, same old, same old location. Sticking to where you know. We always say, look, being flexible in locations is key, because then you can adapt to any market.
I like what you say, Toby. You go, unless you're an electrician or a plumber, or if you can go fix it, then fair enough. But if not, what's the point in it being there?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly that. Unless you're going to be doing all the work yourself, then there's no real benefit to it being on your doorstep, in my view anyway. But if we look at the cities as an individual performance. Now, Nottingham is just under 3%, about 2.9% Nottingham is seeing year-on-year growth compared to last year. So again, the average is 1.2. We're seeing Nottingham above that. So
double.
Yeah, exactly. So which is still strong when you look at that. Strong. That is still good. Manchester, looking here, 2.3%, which is good. You've got Birmingham.
Bearing in mind, even last year, I remember when we were looking at the reports, These were hitting double figures, weren't they?
Yeah, so they're still showing strong signs there. Birmingham, 2.7%. Leeds, 2.3%. And there's a lot there. So again, it just shows that not every city is performing the same. And you can also then look, because they're the major cities, but there are also other cities which aren't noted in there. So, for example, you've got Derby, 3.6% year-on-year growth is sitting at still. Wakefield, 3.5%. Bolton, 3.1%. Now, what's quite interesting about these is they're obviously performing better than the cities we just mentioned, which are good major cities. So they're still performing well. But these locations are what we call commuter locations, which is, again, another thing that we speak about, is that whole ripple effect. So what you're seeing is people priced out of those, or the affordability being stretched in those, and they're now looking slightly further afield because they can then commute into these major cities. I mean, Wakefield's not too far from Leeds, Bolton, Manchester. So that is an interesting trend that we've seen for a while and we've mentioned for a long time, but it's becoming more apparent now.
Yeah, not only that, I'd say as well, Toby, I know when we speak to a couple of our partners in terms of lettings wise, they say some of the areas that they haven't even heard of, like, as you said, maybe these some of not as big, well-known cities as your Liverpool, your Nottingham, your Manchester's, Leeds, as you said. And they and we know for a fact with some of the lettings, when you look into the data, they're really, really well and high performers. The demand's through the roof, consistent rental rises. So sometimes it's not always, I guess, going for your big cities. It's like in your football, going to Manchester United or a Liverpool, you maybe look at a Crystal Palace or an Aston Villa or something like that. So
and then you see Leicester randomly win the Premier League. Win the Premier League. That came out of nowhere.
Absolutely out of nowhere, and then relegated a couple of years later.
So. Well, don't mention that part.
But it's interesting to kind of see that anyway, that in terms of across the board.
Yeah, I think on that as well, it's, again, we're always looking for these little pockets. But what I will say is, and why a lot of people maybe don't do it, is because it's more difficult to do so. There's a lot more research. You've got to remember, these major cities, when we're mentioning Liverpool, Birmingham, Manchester, Leeds, for example, these are established cities, a lot going on. You kind of know what they're doing. They're more stable because there's a lot more embedded in them, and there's a lot more fundamentals that you can clearly see. These outsiders are ones where you do have to do a bit more due diligence. Maybe a bit more of a gamble, you could say, because they're not as well known. There's not as much regen being planned in there. But again, it's about using the fundamentals and looking at that trend and looking at those points that we spoke about. Is it, how close is it? Are people moving there? What's the demand looking like? What's the property prices doing?
And regeneration in that area, and money being pumped into it.
And seeing that ripple, like, you can see where places have jumped up very, very quickly and aggressively. And then you can say, well, look, where's around that? Because naturally, that ripple effect is going to take place. And now, where obviously people are being stretched affordability-wise, that is even more so. And again, coming on to your point about rents performing well, moving on to the rental market. So this is where I'm saying to you guys, be excited about, and when I'm speaking to investors or just people in general about the property market, that yes, capital growth is a factor that we want to look at, and it is obviously good, and it's a major fundamental of the asset when investing, to make sure that it is there now or over the medium to long term. But a lot of people don't really factor in the rental market and the potential rental growth. And what I would say at the moment, it's a very good time to enter the market when you're looking at a medium to long-term plan, because you are going to see major rental growth. We've already seen it, but you're going to see major rental growth because more and more people aren't buying. The demand is massive. Supply is restricted, and the flow of supply is getting even more restricted. So if we look at the latest quarterly report from HomeTrack on the rental prices, the average inflation of rental prices is sitting at 10.4%, double digits.
Wow.
That is incredible. And doesn't look to be slowing down. So when you look at that and you're looking at an investment case for purchasing property, then look, yield is important. That's your monthly income. So you see that more often. Capital growth obviously is where you can build up and accumulate a nice chunk of equity in that property, which is going to do you well when sort of pulling money out and reinvesting. But your monthly income from the property is obviously your yield. And looking at this, where rents are pushing up, your yield's going to go up and up and up. So it might look scary now in terms of mortgage rates, yields not being where you'd want them to be. But if you buy now, be patient and wait for the rental market to continue doing its thing, that's going to help your yields, which is, for me, very, very exciting.
It's massive. Absolutely. I think you're right there, Toby, in terms of, as a whole, a lot of people don't take this into consideration too much, especially when at the start. As you can see, I'm sure you're going to some of the locations as well that have been performing the best in terms of over the 10%, etc. But I think as a whole, it's really, really positive to hear that, especially within the market conditions. I think a hell of a lot of the focus has been on the house prices and the mortgage rates, etc. But people aren't factoring, as you said, what's happening in the rental market and why we've had it in some cases, in some cities, haven't we, in locations where nearly every quarter you could literally put your prices up.
Yeah.
Because it's going at such a fast rate, which is a massive positive, I believe, if you're a landlord.
Yeah, speaking to lettings agents, they are still massively, massively inundated with applications for a single property. I mean, I just rented out one of my flats in Leeds. Tenant moved out, and the applications they had, I was getting alert after alert, viewing books. And yeah, straight away, it's gone. Reference gone through, absolutely fine. They had a bunch of people to pick from, which again, as a landlord's nice.
Yeah, of course.
Very nice to see. And yeah, it's gone to the first person that I saw and sort of passed the reference in, so which was great.
You weren't doing the highest bidder, no?
No. I don't do any of that, to be fair. The market price was the market price. It went on for that. I didn't ask for more money, just did it like that.
Good landlord, eh?
Yeah, I like to see myself as a good landlord. But on the rental side, for obviously you've got this demand. Now, we're seeing rental prices go up. Now, some people will say, well, you know, yeah, how long can it go on for? People can't afford these rents. Yeah. It's getting silly.
They're not capped, maybe.
Yeah, and which, again, that's not going to happen. It's just doesn't work, but that's a different conversation for a different day. But the average percentage of someone's earnings that's going towards rent is 28%. It's the highest it's been for a decade, okay? So again, you think, wow, oh, that's bad news. That means rents are going to slow down. They're not going to be as aggressive as you keep saying. Well, look, if you compare that to other locations where rents have still been doing okay and increased as well, look at London. London's over 40%. I think it's near 50% in terms of the percentage a single earner spends on rent. And the average is 28%. So that's a massive gap there. Okay. And again, we're looking at locations. So you might pick a location where it's even lower than 28%. Because you go, well, I know there's more room for growth there.
I think, as you said as well, Toby, with people commuting nowadays is a massive thing with the rents. Rents like being slightly cheaper in commutable areas. Mm. Or maybe even Londoners moving up north to your Manchester, your Liverpool. Because of obviously how easy it is now and people working from home. They want to live in an affordable location.
Correct.
So it's all things to take into consideration.
Yeah, exactly. And supplies down 33%. So there's no let up in the supply and demand imbalance. So that is a major factor. So being down 33% is massive. And look, one of the reasons for that is, well, actually two. So the first is, when tenants are now moving into properties, they don't really want to move out because they know if they move out, the way the market's going, prices are going up, they have to be very cautious when wanting to move. Over needing to. And also, there are a lot of landlords exiting the market. Now, that is something that I want to speak about because it's something that's out in the news and may put people off. You know, why, if all these landlords are exiting them, then
there's got to be something wrong.
But look, the landlords have been exiting the market since 2018. And that was just due to changes in the market, the tax changes, like we spoke about Section 24, with not being able to use your mortgage to offset against the income, which is obviously having tax implications for landlords. These are older landlords that didn't maybe have the limited company, or they've built up so much money.
They just offload it all at once.
Yeah, in their property because, look, they bought it years and years ago. The market's done what it does. And they think, well, I'll cash in. It's a bit tougher out there. I don't need this hassle.
Go abroad. sell up.
Yeah, go live the high retire. Life, yeah. As these landlords always do. And even though it's clearly not the case,
it doesn't always mean that there's an actual issue, does it?
No, exactly. And I think, again, that presents an opportunity.
Yeah. People come and go, right? This is going to be a new influx of landlords.
And good landlords as well, because they're going to be entering the market in the conditions it is now, with the new regulations, with those tax implications as well that are there. So they'll be geared up for it, and hopefully they'll be here to stay, and they'll operate in a good manner as well. So you'll have good landlords coming in. Also, if landlords are leaving, if I'm a landlord at the moment, or I'm going to be a landlord very soon, well, look, there's less supply out there. That's going to help with my, one, getting a tenant in. I'm going to have minimal voids. Hopefully, I'll have long-standing tenants.
Yep.
And the rental prices, as we just said, are going to be creeping up. Mm. So it's technically a good news on that side of things. But going into the actual locations which are sort of performing well. So you've got, so what would you say, I'll ask you just in case you haven't, I'm guessing you've looked at the report, but you might not have looked at this part.
Mm.
What do you think is the best performing region in terms of average rental price increase?
For year on year, yeah. Since last year, I would go, can I give you three answers?
Nope, I want one.
You want one?
Yeah, I'm
going. All right. I will go Manchester.
I like your thinking. What if I told you it was London?
Really?
Yeah. So London's actually, according to this, 13.5%.
Wow.
Now look, again,
is that the highest performer?
Highest performer in all the regions, yeah. So look, to put a bit of context, we know, and I've mentioned this before on the podcast, London did have a reduction in rental prices when COVID hit because people left the city and it was hit quite badly. So we're still seeing a recovery in many places from there. But again, people are actually moving back to the city, which has increased demand. So that's another reason for it. So London's actually performed very well on the rental market side. So that's quite good to know. Then second was actually the Northwest, so your likes of Manchester, etc., which is 10.5%. So
what was Manchester?
Manchester now. So
where did that come about roughly?
So Manchester, if I look on here, Manchester, 13%.
Oh, wow. So it must have been around second place, surely.
So Manchester was second place, yeah.
Yeah.
Edinburgh and Glasgow. So Edinburgh 1, Manchester 2, Glasgow 3. But again, looking at sort of England, yeah, Manchester, top performer for the major cities at 13% rental growth.
We've heard a lot about Manchester, haven't we? We've seen a lot of the data and the facts of the supply of demand issues.
Yep, exactly. We know a lot going on there. A lot of the launches and investments that we've got there. Again, this is one thing that the investors are looking at, saying, yeah, we want a piece of this. Like,
literal the rental market's waiting going crazy. Lists on some of them, right?
Yeah, exactly. There's such high demand, and it's not going away anytime soon. There's more jobs being created in Manchester as well, with all the development, the regeneration that's going on. So it is positive to see. But yeah, Manchester number two. You've got Southampton up there at 10.7%. Mm. Birmingham, 9.8%. Nottingham, 9.3%. Liverpool, 8.5%. Cambridge, 8.7%. So Leeds, 8.1%. So we can see they're the major cities. The demand's there for these rental properties, and the rental market is doing very well there. So you don't want to discredit these just from saying, oh, well, look, the capital growth's not as strong as maybe some second-tier cities or maybe some towns that I want to look at. But if you look at the rental markets in these, if you're going to get in early enough, you're going to benefit from them. So very, very interesting to see that. And very positive, because, again, when we're looking at an investment and we're looking as landlords, we want to be looking at the rental market, and not a lot of people do. So in conclusion then, Matt, what's your overall, after hearing that data, but not only using that to give your opinion, you're obviously day in, day out talking to investors, you're within the property market. So what's your, at this moment in time, what's your feedback on the property market?
Yeah. Well, just to go into it in terms of dealing with investors on a day-to-day basis, we personally, I think across the board with the team, haven't found a slowdown at all in regards to the people purchasing property, whether that be down the route of off plan or completed properties. I think of course, as you mentioned, Toby, and we've mentioned on the podcast, there's obviously still a bit of scarcity within some people. I think a lot of time, first-time buyers who haven't really experienced the market too well, the news has been slightly putting off. But I think there's a lot of factors, especially in the reports that we've kind of, and especially some of the factors that we've gone into today, and points. I think it's a massive positive in terms of that you shouldn't be scared. There's still lots of opportunities. It's just finding where the right opportunities are. Whether that be speaking to an expert or if you have your own time doing your own due diligence off the back end, I think it's very important to do in regards to that. I think that rental report, especially for me, was really pleasing to see. I think as a landlord, even if, say, for example, as we said, the mortgage rates are slightly higher and you're buying now, the margin's still there, and that rental is hopefully, which we are seeing, going to continue to increase in terms of the price wise, which is going to keep that margin even more profitable. And obviously factor in if it does go slightly higher for whatever reason and you're coming up to your term and you've got to fix in a new rate, something that even if you have to, I wouldn't say suffer, but in terms of maybe take a bit less profit than you normally would, it's potentially still 100% worth doing. I mean, as a whole, I was quite pleased reading this report. In to be completely honest with you, what about yourself, Tobe?
Yeah, look, overall, I think if we look at the economy, the inflation situation, seeing it drop to 7.9%, is a point in the right direction to where we want to be going. As I said, I don't think it's going to get easy from here. I think we've still got a long slog to go on to, and it will be a little bit sort of difficult for a few more months to come. But again, I think that's only going to benefit in terms of getting the economy under control when it is needed. Now, I think once we see that settle, hopefully, if this continues, the Bank of England won't be as aggressive. They either won't put up rates, and if they do, maybe they'll do it very incrementally rather than very aggressively. So I think what this means for the property market is it will hopefully stay settled. There'll be some parts which are more affected than others, as we've spoken about in this podcast, but there'll be other parts which will still perform decent. And there's definitely places of opportunity that you can be looking at this moment. I think there's good places, a lot of good places that you can still buy into, and that will be fine for the current market conditions. And even if the market was to worsen slightly, there's definitely a need for you to be more tactical when buying at the moment before you could ride the wave of a very good property market. And yeah, you can get away with a few mistakes.
It was a great wave.
It was a good wave, but it's not sustainable.
Yeah, of course.
So you just need to be a lot more on the ball and strategic when buying at this moment. So I would say overall, don't be put off buying. Just buy correctly. And location at this moment is key, and the type of investment that you're going to do as well in terms of the property strategy is key. So overall, I am positive about how it is looking and how it will look, but there's a gap to go where we've still got that period where the economy needs to get under control. And then once we're at the end of that, which I'm hoping shouldn't be too long, maybe another year, maybe a bit more, then coming out the other side, we'll have a more stable market. And anybody that's got through this market, bought and bought well in this market, when we come out the other side, you will do very well from. And that, for me, is something to look at if you are looking to invest right now. Yeah,
for sure. I think in terms of, be interesting to hear your take, Toby, in terms of maybe by the time of the next rental report, is there anything that you think will be drastically changed, or do you think it'll be a similar outcome? It'd be good to...
Yeah, so it's a quarterly rental report. So do I think anything...
By the next report, do you think if we're going to see any big changes? Do you think the prices are going to continue to slightly increase across the UK average as well as the rents, or what's your thoughts?
So if we're looking at the next... if we're looking at the next house price index report, it wouldn't surprise me if the average UK figure does come down a bit, because since the last report, obviously there's been a lot going on in the market, and more sting would have been taken out of it. So I can see that coming down a bit more. To what level? We'll see. But I don't think it's going to be going above. I think it's more likely to reduce slightly. But I'm not too concerned about that. In terms of the rental price report the next quarter, I do believe it'll be much of the same. You're going to see very good rental price growth. And you'll see much of the same stats. And it'll be quite, in my opinion, probably quite repetitive. There might be some new factors put in there, maybe some new locations that might be performing better than others. There might be a shift in that, but overall I think it'd be the same old. What about you?
I think the exact same, to be honest with you, Toby. I think, as you said, I think initially before that about look, we're on this road at the moment, and at the moment it's still a bit rocky. It's not smooth as of yet, but I think we've still got a little way to go. But I think it'll be, I personally think, a fairly similar outcome. I think, as you said, maybe a slight drop on the house side of things, but I think there's no indication why the rental market would slow down at all.
No, and that's definitely been something that I'm focusing on at the moment. We're looking at investments, is looking at the actual rental market, focusing on that.
Because not everyone does.
No, and that's the problem. That is the thing. When you speak to a lot of people, the first thing they look at is house price growth, capital price growth, because it is obviously a major factor. But they might discredit somewhere because the growth isn't what they think is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But it could be doing absolutely phenomenal in the rental price growth side of things. And again, when we're looking at the medium to long term, it may not be performing amazing right now on capital growth sides, but if you look at the fundamentals, it'll probably be performing absolutely amazing over the next 5 to 10 years, for example, potentially. So then when you couple in the factor of the rental growth you're going to get now in that interim period, because how the market conditions are, and then once that starts to slow down and go back to normal, you then got the capital growth factor sort of coming into things. That's when you look at the bigger picture, and there's a lot of good investments still out there. So that's definitely something that you want to be looking at.
I think it comes down to, once again, the individual, the investor themselves, what they're looking for out of investment, doesn't it? Whether they're looking to go down a route of more cash flow, or if someone wants a bit of both, then as you said, that might be the perfect way of doing stuff.
Yeah.
Whether you may be initially thinking capital growth, obviously it's a quicker way maybe to make a bigger lump sum, but people don't always look at the underlying other problems, essentially, that could maybe factor in a number of different things that could help with the rents, etc. So yeah, it's positive.
Yeah, I like to play the long game of property. So these are sort of little bumps along the way, which I just maneuver around, play the long game. And the UK property market is usually nice and favourable to you. But some people do look short term. So again, just pick the right strategy to do that. But me, myself, I look long term as a whole.
Great.
All right. Let's wrap it up there then. Thanks for joining us again on another episode of the Pure Property Podcast. And we'll see you next time for our next episode. Bye-bye.
See you guys. Take care.